Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for a shock.
Ready to be challenged? Maybe a little offended, but definitely shocked. This is Shock Therapy Live. Your therapy session with Nate Heitzig. We're not looking for stump a pastor questions, so put down your Devos and open your diaries. Really, this isn't systematic theology.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not at all.
This is Shock Therapy Live. Now, here's Devo.
Yes!
Oh, man.
Wow.
Dude, we're back.
It's been a minute.
It's been more than a minute. It's been like 3 weeks.
Hello, lovely listener. Welcome to Shock Therapy Live. If you are new to the show, we are too.
Yeah, dude. It's been weird. It feels really like you. I was on vacation. You were on vacation. But,
better?
Better. Matt was on vacation. Everybody was on vacation.
Yeah. Had a good holiday.
Yeah?
Good holiday.
Is that good?
That's good.
Did I get him?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, so if you are new to Shock Therapy Live, it's a one-hour therapy session devoted to you, the lovely listener. Maybe you're going through something. Maybe you had a crappy holiday. Maybe family was in town and it just didn't go as planned. Maybe you're struggling with something. Maybe you're just bitter about something. Maybe you just need some advice on how to handle a situation. That's what we're here for, and maybe, we understand. Man.
Maybe you really wanted an iPod for Christmas, and somebody went and bought you a Zune off of eBay.
Thinking like, well, this is just as good, and it's not.
Yeah.
So
maybe you really, really, really wanted a new sweater from H&M, and someone went to Abercrombie and got you a sweater.
Mm-hmm. Abercrombie would be like a touch more expensive. So in that case, you just
a touch more
it.
Expensive and 10 years
dated.
Yeah,
a little dated.
And it makes you look a little bit like, I don't know. How can I say it?
Chad, Brad, Brian.
It starts with a D and ends with an yoosh.
Uche.
Uche.
Yeah.
Starts with.
Hey, Touche, man.
Oh, amazing. Amazing. Yeah, we're here for you. 505-338-3700. We understand.
You know Abercrombie's still really popular in the UK?
Really?
Huh.
Like, you go to the UK, and they're, like, all about Hollister and Abercrombie. And they're wearing it, and I had to tell them, I was like, you know, that's not cool.
That's not cool anymore, guys.
In the States anymore, right?
It's not cool in the States.
Probably why it's cool.
But
there.
Are they? So here's the thing. Are they ahead of the curve or behind the curve? Like, maybe they already got through that phase where it was uncool. And now it's coming back around to being cool, and they're like,
so like Abercrombie did what bell bottoms took like 30 years to do.
Maybe,
maybe there's
Abercrombie did it in like 5.
Yeah,
maybe they're so far totally ahead of the curve, they're almost behind it.
There you go. Yes, that's absolutely amazing.
Wow,
it's Shock Therapy Live. We understand a lot of times your questions can be sensitive. Maybe you want to chime in, you want to share, but you really want to be anonymous. This is the best way to do it. Studio@mystaticradio.com. That's our email address. It comes directly to us. That's studio@mystaticradio.com. We want to answer your questions. We are here to hang out with you this morning and just chat.
You know, I got it. Maybe the guys who are wearing it in the UK were just like the guys who wear it here and go, no, it's still cool here.
No.
And it really wasn't cool. They were just like, yeah, it's still cool.
They don't.
This is awesome.
You got to do a British accent if you're going to talk about UK people.
Well, it's still cool here, you know.
Hey, all right. Hey. That was better than I was expecting. That was really good.
You got a good one.
That was good. Yeah.
Your dad is incredible
at
like voice impressions. Mm-hmm. It blows my mind.
Yeah.
If you could have any accent, what accent would you have?
Like a forever accent?
Yeah, like you're
hey,
stuck
this
with
is
it.
My, I feel like Irish people are kind of rugged and cool, right?
I would have an English accent,
yeah,
but I've
too.
Learned increasingly that the southern accent is very, very charming. Yeah.
There you go. Good job,
See, I would have... If I'm going to have an English accent, I want an English accent, but not like the Liverpool,
like not a Cockney accent.
Yeah, it's like the hick accent. It's like if there's hicks in England, like that's the hick accent.
Like Teo, he's the American.
Yeah, he's the Liverpool. He's the American
Thanks,
Liverpool.
Man. I feel good about it.
That's good. It means you're like the Beatles.
Yeah.
It's basically, we just
Absolutely.
Said you're like Paul
you're
McCartney.
You're the American Beatles.
Am I like Michael Caine?
There you go. Well,
is that what he is?
No, that's not Liverpool. That's like...
Like Cockney?
Yeah.
Something like, I don't know. I don't know the regions.
See, I would want like proper British, like proper, like London, proper like London British.
That's what I would want, because despite the charm of the southern accent, you still sound like an idiot. You sound like a redneck.
They're like, oh, bless your heart.
Yeah, you're walking a fine line every day where people are like, I don't know. It sounds sweet, but I don't know.
When I was in California, I immediately slipped into like surfer mode. So, like, my son tells the story best. We were in a Whole Foods just grabbing stuff, and I had a question for this dude. And Jack said it was weird because all of a sudden he was staring at me, and then he was staring at this guy, and it was like couldn't differentiate us because we were in Long Beach at this, like, random Whole Foods. And he's like, hey, bro, how, you know, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm looking for this, and, you know, do you have any, opinions on blah, 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 you know, I got a gluten-free/dairy-free kid. Oh, bro, okay, Petaluma's got this really amazing blah, 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 blah.
You sound like
totally
Crush.
Talking like, that's exactly what Jack said. We got back in the car, and he goes, you guys totally sounded like the turtle from Finding Nemo. And I'm like, yes.
Perfect.
That's what I want forever. Totally.
Yeah.
But I would sound like an idiot, so I kind of already do. Yeah, it works out.
I like British accents.
Yeah, there you go.
I think they're sexy.
Speaking of British accents, Shock Therapy Live.
Yeah!
That's not fun to talk about.
Speaking of sexy, Shock Therapy Live.
Right? We got relationship questions. So if you have a question, chime in. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. You can give us a call. Phone lines are open. 505-338-3700.
The thing is, even if we had a question on Shock Therapy Live that we could say was sexy, we couldn't say it because that'd be inappropriate.
Right? Well, we got an email question already.
We do.
Is it sexy?
cannot say. That would be inappropriate.
It's sexy.
Did I pass?
Know it.
I think I passed.
You passed. That was good, man.
My
You're
question. I am wondering, what is the biblical thing to do when an unbeliever is attracted to you? To keep a long story short, I saw a girl who frequents where I work at a ceremony for something. The location isn't important. Afterwards, she found me on Facebook and sent me a message asking if I would like to hang out with her, and she gave me her number. Based on her lifestyle, I have inferred that she is not a believer. I'm sure she doesn't just want to be friends. How do I tell her I won't date her without being rude? I know I should not be ashamed to tell her that I'm saving myself for a godly marriage, but should I cut her off at the Facebook message or talk to her? Wise Steve-O once said, missionary dating leads to the missionary position.
Awesome. Glad.
Steve-O Jeter. Oh,
glad that stuck with you.
And that's what I want to avoid. Thanks, guys.
Glad you're having a positive impact on people's lives.
From Anonymous.
You know what? You know what, bro?
That's billboard material.
That is billboard material.
No, it's not.
Oh, gosh.
Billboard for a nightclub.
Yeah. As the wise Steve-O once said. Wow. Well, I will say this immediately, because I was kind of thrown off by the question. And this is just the way it came across. Again, this morning we were talking about email and social media and how people can come off a certain way and maybe they have good intentions and you just don't know. Mm-hmm. It sounded kind of pretentious. It's like, hey, ran into this girl at this event, talked for like a split second. She hit me up on Facebook. I know she doesn't want to just be friends because I can tell by her lifestyle. She's totally digging my chili.
Because come on, who can resist this fine specimen?
Should I just cut it off here, or like should I respond to this other human being? You know, it's like, man. Dang, dude.
Yeah,
that's the way it came.
Yeah,
off
this is what I would say about it. Just, you know, whether or not she has bad motives about wanting to be your friend or not, you don't know that yet. And so I wouldn't cut her off just based on that. I'd say, you know, go hang out with her. And if it leads to something where you can tell, you know, and it gets a little bit more intimate or something, then you can let her know, hey, sorry, I just came here to hang out with you as friends.
Yeah.
I don't want to get in a relationship with you. I have firm beliefs in Christ. Now, I would say on the other end of the spectrum, if you're attracted to her and you think that she would cause you to stumble and that you would go there, hang out with her, and then all of a sudden be like, oh, man, I'm going to do something I don't want to do and something I told myself I shouldn't do, then in that case, I would cut it off before you even go there because you got to look not just at her motives but your motives. You know, if you're like, man, okay, this is going to really, really tempt me and I'm going to have a hard time dealing with this, then I wouldn't even go there. But I don't think I would judge her Facebook message and immediately judge her heart from that.
Right. It's like, I think this chick drinks. She's wearing a bathing suit in this photo. She's obviously a prostitute.
And she used an emojicon with kissy lips, so that means that she's making out with a bunch of guys.
What?
Yeah. It's extreme, man. Emojis
it's a little extreme. Because here's the thing. As we were talking
And she
morning,
said Merry Xmas on her Facebook, so she's an atheist.
Beautiful.
We don't mean to mock, but it's true. As we talk about it this morning, we're talking about celebrity culture. And it's this thing where we kind of tend to forget that people are human beings. Mm. They have real emotions. And this is a real human being. You know, you want to respond, especially if this person happens to know that you are a believer. We're definitely not called to just be like, hand in the face. Yeah. I'm not even responding to you because of this temptation. I can't even Facebook respond because that just comes off weird, man. You know.
And she says she likes Hugh Jackman, so I think she's a mutant.
Ooh. Well, then in that case.
So I definitely be on guard, as Pastor Nate said, if it's something that would cause you to stumble building a relationship upon that. But, I mean, simply responding to a Facebook message, you know, I feel like you, it's the kind human thing to do.
Yeah, I don't think you gotta throw a wall up.
Yeah.
Right now. Yeah. I mean, maybe y'all go out with a bunch of friends or something.
And again, something think about this. Don't missionary date her, but you can still be a missionary to her. You
right,
know?
Absolutely.
So I would say, you know, still go hang out with her because you might be able to win her to Christ. You don't have to start a relationship with her. And I think that's what's so funny. A lot of times guys think like, okay, if a guy and a girl become friends and one of them's not Christian, it's missionary dating. No, yeah. You can still become friends and just witness to them and just be a good witness to them without macking down on them.
Absolutely.
That's what
macking down.
That should be the wise counsel. To be remembered, not missionary dating, missionary position. It should be, don't missionary date her, be a missionary to her.
There you go.
That's the one we should all walk away with.
The kinder, gentler. There you go. Yeah, I like
there
that.
There we go.
I like that. That's approved.
That's billboard
material.
That would
go in the bulletin.
That would be a good
that's
one.
That's a good, yeah.
That would go on a book title.
There you go.
Or like
I like
a
that.
Christian t-shirt, yeah. Not of this world t-shirt.
The subtitle of the book.
N-O-T-Dub.
Yeah. I like that. 505-338-3700, the phone number. It is Shock Therapy Live. Hello, welcome to the show.
Yeah, good morning, dude. How you doing?
Doing well. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. I guess I have a question more towards, like, a life. I don't know. I'm not trying to, like, kill the mood, but I just had a question. Like, if you just think your, like, life sucks, dude, or if, like, you're doing something you hate every day, or you know you're called for more, or you know that you're meant for more, but you're, like, living below that, you just, like, I know as Christians they say, you know, you should... You know, be grateful for the things you have, and I'm grateful. But there's a difference between being grateful and then, like, you know, being really, like, uncomfortable in a place, like, in place where you're at. I guess my question would be, is, like, you know, how do you work through something like that, man? Like, it's like, it feels like my life's kind of, like...
Monotonous.
The only good thing I have in my life is my wife and my kid, man. Like, that's it. But it's like, I feel like myself in particular, and for them, it's like a pulse bigger... But it's like, how are you supposed to reach and go down that path bigger? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think the answer, I'm going to give you two stories in the Bible that I think can help you out with this. But I think the answer is that you stay faithful and you wait for God to open a door. Those are the two things that I would say. And what I would judge both of those things on is the story of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and on the story of Nehemiah is where I would base that off of. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were all taken from their homeland, and they were all captives in Babylon. And it was a rough place, and they could have very easily looked at their life and said, man, I don't want to be here, and I want to be in this situation. For that matter, Joseph, we can put Joseph in the same boat, put into a bad circumstance, put into a place where for a while they just had to work. And they just had to be faithful, and they just had to put their hand to the plow and trust God. And in this time, they were faithful not just to God, but they were faithful to the situation and the circumstance that they were in without grumbling and complaining. Joseph could have really easily looked at Potiphar and had malice in his heart towards Potiphar. He could have looked at the Egyptian people and had malice in his heart towards the Egyptian people. He could have looked at his brothers at the time and had malice in his heart towards his brothers. But he wasn't just faithful to God. He was faithful to his circumstance. He was a good servant. He was a good slave. He did his work harder than anyone else who worked for Potiphar. He put his hand to the plow. He honored Potiphar. He honored Egypt, and he honored God through that. And same with Daniel. And what God did in turn is God honored them, and God continued to elevate them, and God continued to open doors for them until they got to a place where they could look at their life and they could say, man, God really led me to a place by being faithful, by honoring him, by not wanting to alter his timeline to where God really blessed both of their lives. And for Nehemiah, I would really reference this story for you as well. Nehemiah could have looked at his life and said, man, I've got a pretty monotonous life. My life consists of taking drinks of the king's wine and seeing if I die or not.
Yeah.
I mean, that was his job. He was a cupbearer. And it was a monotonous life. And he felt called to something more. He felt called to help his people, the Israelites. He felt called to do something for God. But he was faithful to God. He was faithful to the king. And he continued to serve the king until finally the king told him, hey, I want you to go help your people. And he sent him, and he sent him with a bunch of food, a bunch of money, a bunch of people to go rebuild the walls and do what he felt he was called to do.
Yeah.
So I think the key is being faithful and then waiting for an open door. And when an open door comes, when God brings that open door, have the faith to go through it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's funny. I was recently reading an article in Relevant Magazine. Title of the article is, "When Risking It All for God Means Staying Where You Are." It seems like in this culture that we live in, risk means going out. In fact, in the article it says, step out, leave, go, abandon. These are the words we normally associate with risk when it comes to God. You hear stories of people who all of a sudden in the middle of the night are like, I'm going to be a missionary in Africa, or I'm going to move and I'm going to get this crazy job, and I'm not negating those in any way, shape, or form, nor was the article. But a lot of times risking it all means finding contentment where God has already placed you. And I know that sucks to hear, because I think a lot of times we just want to hear like, go find that job that's going to just bash your head in with awesome. And one of the key things of this, it said, in a society that's constantly telling us to chase the latest and greatest, what if, more often than not, the riskier thing to do for God is to stay where you are and keep doing what you're doing for the time being until God moves?
You know, it really goes into something I've been really praying in this new year. And I think every year I always pray that Lord would give fresh vision, fresh passion, fresh excitement. I think we always pray for those things. It's easy for us to say, Lord, give me excitement, give me passion, give me vision. But what I've been praying for this year for myself is that God would give me perseverance when I wake up on the days where I don't feel passionate.
Yeah.
That God would give me strength to work hard, strength to persevere, strength to be content on the days where I don't feel excited, where I don't feel passionate. Because I think sometimes that's what we need more than, instead of asking God for more passionate excitement, there's going to be days, doesn't matter who you are or what job you're in, where you wake up and you don't feel that way.
Yeah.
Days when you wake up and you say, I don't want to go to work. Days when you wake up and say, I would rather quit today. Days when you wake up and say, I want to do something else with my life.
Yeah.
And I think what we need to pray for as Christians, more than passion and excitement to get through those times, would be perseverance and would be commitment through those times.
Amen. You know, you hear those crazy stories. I remember this last year. I can't remember. Producer Doug might, because he's my sports friend. But there was, I believe, a linebacker in the NFL who had, you know, multi-million-dollar contract, I think, with the St. Louis Rams or something, and just wanted to do something different. Thanks for the call. Wanted to do something different and ended up, you know, leaving all these millions behind and got a farm. And it turned out really well. It turns out believer, and he started this farm so that he could feed the homeless. And it was like, that's an inspiring story. But those are the stories that make us go, I gotta make this rash decision.
Yeah.
I gotta completely abandon everything I know because I'm not content. And to get to the meat of it and to get to the heart of it, because I've been there. We've all been there. This place where you're just not necessarily content with your situation truly comes down to your dedication to God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, truly, and I will say that from my heart as well. How solid is my devotion to the Lord? How much am I honestly trusting that God is in control? If I believe he is the author, the perfecter of my faith, if I believe that he has these amazing plans for my life, why can't I just trust that the place that I'm currently in could be the place that he wants me to be in?
Dude, I went to a seminar probably 2 years ago. And it was really fascinating for me because they were talking about, you know, the situation that we're in right now in America is that everyone is looking for what they're called to do.
Yeah.
And so you have kids who find five different majors and drop out of college because they're trying to find what they're called to do.
Yeah.
You have people who bounce around from job to job because they're looking for what they're called to do. And they were comparing this to the 1950s and kind of the atomic family, where a guy had a job and he had that job for 30 years.
Yeah.
And that job wasn't a glorifying job. That job wasn't, you know, an ideal job. But he had a job because where he found his value wasn't in his job. Where he found his value was in his family.
Yeah.
And they were talking about the change, and the change is – is most readily attributed to a breakdown in the family unit.
Mm.
And it's because what we've had over the course of the past 50 years is a breakdown in the family unit to where people are no longer finding their worth. They're no longer finding their value in their family. They're no longer finding their value in the relationships they have. And so they have to, by nature, seek their value in something else. And so as opposed to an era where we could say, look, I don't care what my job is, because what's most important about my job is that it brings me home to my family and lets me provide for my family. That's what was important 50 years ago. Now, people say, I don't care whether or not I can provide for my family. I want to do what I'm called to do, because we don't place the same value on family and on relationships. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, as that guy called in before and he said, the only thing that's great in my life is my wife and my kids. You know, I would say, you got your wife, you got your kids, you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. What else do you need?
Yeah.
And I think as long as you're providing, you know, sustenance, as long as you're providing for your family, that's what's most important. And that's what you should find your worth and your calling in.
Yeah.
And that's what your calling is, to provide and to take care of your family. And if you're doing that, then man, you're fulfilling your calling.
It's interesting to hear a biblical perspective and then a world perspective, because recently I was watching this, you know, the TED Talks.
Yeah.
I got sent this TED Talk thing, and it was on corporate America. And from this consultant, I believe his name was Joe Cynic, something like that.
Cynic?
Cynic, yeah. That's S-E-N-I-C-K, Cynic.
Was he cynical?
Well, it was interesting, because from his perspective, you know, and I don't know him. It was just, I'll check this out.
I don't know him from Joe?
I don't know him from Joe. And he was talking about corporate America, and he was talking about how in the 1980s, layoffs became the thing. And up until that point, as you were saying, the atomic family, dude had a job for 30 years, and how in our culture, your job has become your family. And how, from the perspective of culture, that it's not, oh, this man, my work people are like my family. No, they are your family. This has become the new tribe, if you will. And how, in this day and age, people are wanting that. They just want that security. And unfortunately, you know, when the 80s popped up and all of a sudden the pink slip showed up and layoffs and all these things started happening, people in that place, you know, his analogy was, if your family's having a bad year, you don't go, hey, you're the smartest kid, you're gonna land on your feet really easily, we gotta let a family member go. No, you get rid of the Mercedes and you buckle down and you have ramen for a year and you figure it out, because this is your family. And how in corporate America, from a cultural, not biblical standpoint, this family, you want that security and you're kind of wrapped up in the security of your job as your family. And as you said, it's like this family breakdown. So it's interesting biblically versus what the world is trying to tell you, that, hey, man, your job's your family. And When you're at a place and all of a sudden layoffs start happening, not only are you telling the person, hey, we don't care about you and you go find your family, you know, and you'll work it out. But then the people there, he was saying, so psychologically, they kind of have the breakdown of, oh, wow, now I'm expendable. And then they're starting to try and look for other things. And it was really interesting to hear that from a worldly perspective, because,
you know, it's so funny, too, when you look at the way that God used people in the Bible. God very much used people in a way that they understood that they were expendable.
Yeah.
That, I mean, think about Esther. Think about what Esther's uncle told Esther. If you don't rise up, somebody else will.
Right.
It's like, look, God doesn't need you.
Yeah.
And I think
He wants you.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, we see this as God uses people in the Bible. It's like, you know what? God will use Samson. But look, if Samson blows it, God doesn't need Samson. Yeah. God will find another judge.
Yeah.
You know, God really wants to use him, but God doesn't need him.
Yeah.
You know, if one of the disciples messes up, God doesn't need to use that disciple. God can use, you know, so I think that it's so funny the way corporate America looks at things. And we look at that and we see how counterintuitive it is to what the Bible, you know, says, and how the Bible views those things.
It's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
See, culturally versus, you know, as you said, biblically, what is happening? Because there's, I think the season has a lot to do with it as well. Mm-hmm. It's winter and, you know, a new year and what new thing is going to happen in this new year. And the very first thing, I mean, I spend more time here than I do with my family, you know? So it's like you spend all of your time at work, right?
Yeah.
And so this becomes that place, and man, I just gotta, I gotta, if I'm not super stoked every single day to come to work, and not to discount what the caller's saying. In fact, I think that just shows that we all go through that. We all have these seasons of suck, as he said, you know, where you just, life kind of sucks and you're like, what's going on? And you have to totally fall back on Jesus Christ. Because if your contentment does not begin with Jesus, then nothing else matters.
And I think another really important thing here, and this isn't necessarily biblical, part of it's biblical, but it's really more just life. I think we as human beings tend to be more discontent if we compare our circumstances to other people's circumstances.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I know I fall into this trap. Man, God has blessed me with a great job, a great family, something I enjoy doing. There's times, honestly, when I look at like a red carpet and I see celebrities on the red carpet, or you know, I go to a concert, or you know, I see some of these things that, or you know, I just watch like you see corporate America, you see some guy flying a jet, and I'm like, oh man, that'd be so cool.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just natural if we compare our circumstances to other people's circumstances for us to get discontent.
Yeah.
And so I think you can never compare your circumstances or where you're at, your lot in life, with another person's lot in life, because it's going to lead to discontentment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's just going to happen. So I think you need to look at your situation from your situation. And again, those questions like, man, do I have a great family? Yes. Do I have money to feed my family? Do I have money to put a roof over my family's heads? Do I have money to get clothes for my family? You know, God's blessed me.
Yeah.
And I'm called to that.
Yeah,
I'm called to providing for my family. And as long as God provides me a way to do that, then praise the Lord. And let me tell you something. Providing for your family, that's way more honorable than quitting your job to pursue your dream and letting your family starve.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
I think it's really important to recognize too that comparison is our human thing, because thank God he doesn't compare us to other people.
Right.
You know,
right.
And we have the Bible to go look and see how he definitely is not operating on a standard of comparison.
Right.
Because if he
right.
is, then the Lord is doing things completely opposite of the way you would expect him to do.
Yeah.
Totally. And it says in the Bible he uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise.
Yeah.
And you look at like our biblical heroes, every one of those people was just a screwed up person.
Right.
You know, but the Lord used that person to bring him glory.
Yeah.
And thank God he's not running around saying, hey, Paul, I had this dude named Moses, and you are not cutting it, man.
Right.
That guy was way better than you. Way better than you. And Moses, before him, there was this dude named Job, who was the best. Well, except for Joseph. Joseph was up there, too. I don't know. I'll figure it out later. But anyway, all that to say, you're doing this wrong.
Yeah.
You know?
Thank God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. 505-338-3700 is the phone number. It's Shock Therapy Live. Steve-O, Mateo, Pastor Nate Heitzig hanging out with you this morning. And if you have a questione, you can email us.
Dude,
studio@mystaticradio.com.
What do you guys think about Shia LaBeouf? You read that relevant? I'm sure you guys read the relevant
magazine.
Totally.
I haven't read the relevant article.
You haven't?
No.
Well, we read the thing about him becoming a Christian.
Yeah, I read an article about him becoming a Christian.
I don't know if that was. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. But Relevant did they did a pretty good article on it.
I don't know if we read the relevant.
Yeah, I didn't read it. I didn't read the relevant article. That mm-mm. I remember when it came out that he had an encounter with the Lord and decided to change his ways and change his life. And
yeah, I don't know what to make of it, you know, because he's so crazy and he's so, you know, off the wall. It's just hard to say. So yeah, this is Shia LaBeouf's, it's a Relevant magazine. Shia LaBeouf on becoming a Christian. It's a real thing that really saved me. Shia LaBeouf, as we know, has had an interesting year. He's fielded plagiarism accusations, worn weird masks to premieres, done some art, and spent a bit of time in rehab. He is also, in spite of all that, an undeniably gifted actor whose latest movie, Fury, is genuinely terrific. And now, according to Interview Magazine, he's become a Christian, and he's not making any bones about what kind of Christian he is. I became a Christian man, and not in an effing BS kind of a way, in a very real way. I could have just said the prayers that were on the page, but it was a real thing that really saved me, and you can't identify unless you're really going through it. He went on to say that his conversion has been a full-blown exchange of heart and a surrender of control that he experienced while making Fury. He had conversations with co-star Brad Pitt, who was raised as a Christian, and directed David Ayers, who still is one, and made his decision. He said, "But these two diametrically opposed positions both led me to the same spot, and I really looked up to both men."
Man, yeah, I remember when that came out.
Mm-hmm.
Everything he said was like, well, okay.
Except dropping the F-bomb.
Right, right. Was spot on.
Yeah.
And the idea, it's not like this, you went to, when I was 6 years old, I at Trinity Church in Lubbock, Texas, went up on stage and gave my life to Jesus because Salty was on stage and I wanted to be on stage with Salty. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Was that a real life experience? Well, God has used me. And did I fall away? I've had a crazy life.
Yeah.
It wasn't what he experienced.
But at the same time, what he experienced, and this is what I've heard a lot of people say, what he experienced could very, very much be considered a method acting point of view.
Yeah.
In that he also, on the set of Fury, pulled out his own front tooth by himself because he thought it would get him more into character.
Wow.
And apparently David Ayers and Brad Pitt were really concerned with his behavior on the set of Fury.
Yeah.
Because, again, he pulled out his own tooth. He was just like – he got so into the character. So a lot of people are saying he's a Christian right now because for his character he had to become a Christian.
That's interesting.
I guess only time can tell.
I was
going to
say time.
Like
thankfully, the Lord, as you were saying, comparison, it's like, well, thankfully he'll know. Because I read that and was like, wow, because I immediately we got comments about him dropping the F-bomb. People were saying, whoa, obviously he didn't really have an experience because he dropped the F-bomb. And I had to negate.
Because none
those.
Of us have ever sinned since we became
a
Christian.
And so I was like, what? Because yes, because when you give your life to Jesus, all of a sudden everything's always is perfect and shiny and you, and you don't have any flaws. So obviously a flaw like that.
I mean,
means
I guess,
you don't have a real
I guess
conversion.
A lot of people said that POD weren't Christians when they dropped a bad word on their CD.
Yeah, this is very true. And Sonny even called us that day to kind of conversate about it, but the people who were against, It didn't matter what they said, you know.
Yeah.
When you have an opinion and you are set in your heart like this is the way it is, no matter what anybody does or says to try and appease or change that, it'll never change that. So I don't know. You know, we say time with Shia LaBeouf, but at the same time, because of all of the antics and kind of the everything surrounding him in the past, would it really matter? Would anything really quote unquote change your mind? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, what could he really do to quote unquote prove himself? Which is another reason why
come
I'm
to Calvary.
Super stoked.
Begin to Calvary,
yeah,
I believe.
Shut up. This is why I'm stoked that I just serve God. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't have to juggle for anybody because God knows where I'm at. And man, I still fail. You know, I still fall short of the glory of God.
Yeah.
But praise God for Jesus Christ. Praise, as it says in Romans chapter 8, man, I always go back to that anytime I'm feeling, you know, it just kicks it off. Romans 8:1, you know, there is therefore now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus who are called according to his purpose. And it goes on from, because Paul, he wrote, you know, 2/3 of the New Testament is going, wretched, filthy man that I am, who will save me from myself, you know? And so I'm sure in his time, there were plenty of people who were like, Paul, remember my buddy Jeff, my Christian friend you murdered? Yeah, it was crazy,
yeah, he's still
right?
Dead.
He's still dead. Yeah, he's dead. You murdered him.
Oh, actually, he's right here. Hey, Jeff, say hi to the guy who killed you.
Ah! So I'm sure he dealt with some of that.
He's like, yeah, my head still isn't connected back to the body.
Yeah, still
thanks
not,
a lot, like, Paul.
He's like, bro, thanks.
I'm
headless
like,
Nick.
Yeah,
or
headless
whatever.
Nick from Harry Potter.
Nearly headless Nick.
Nearly headless Nick. That's what it is. And we just forget that people are people.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, it's funny. When you talk about that whole thing, though, the only biblical perspective we get on comparing ourselves to other people is in that mindset. Like, man, compared to everyone else, I'm a way worse sinner. I mean, think about Paul. Like, that's what Paul said.
Yeah,
like, of
the
sinners of whom I am chief. And I heard a pastor talk about this one time. He said, if you could get $1 for every sin you could name of another person, inward or outward, who would you pick? And if anyone was a smart betting person, they'd pick themselves
because
we know all of our inward sins. And so you could get a lot of money for every dollar sin that you could name for yourself.
That's true.
And so when you compare your spiritual bank account to other people's spiritual bank account, you're always the worst.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so there's no room for us to look at someone else and say they're not a Christian because of this or that. Because when I look at myself, I'm like, man, I shouldn't be a Christian.
Absolutely.
And God forgave me.
I'm tracking with you right there. I deal with that every day.
Right.
Because it's just like, man, And that's kind of a segue, because that's why I'm so interested in the new study that Calvary's about to start.
Yeah.
Amen.
Because it's called Jesus Loves People. Here, you know all about it. Yeah. You tell everybody.
We got to talk about this because you were talking about it yesterday, and I was stoked. We were driving back from Astro Zombies, and we saw the billboard on the side of the freeway, and I was like, dude, this is going to be huge because Vicky Beeching recently came out as homosexual. And did you see the tweet that she posted, like standing in between the Westboro people with signs?
Yep.
It was crazy. She's standing there in between people who look like they want to murder her with these hate-filled signs full of things I don't even like saying.
Yeah, so I'll read you. We're doing a press release for our series, and I'll read you our press release when we go from there. So.
Okay.
The headline for our press release is Church to Declare Love for Gays, Prostitutes, and Downtrodden. Hmm. In response to Westboro Baptist saying that God hates fags, Calvary Albuquerque says Jesus loves people. Hmm. Pastor Skip Heitzig will teach on homosexuality, prostitution, atheism, and other topics the church sees as problematic. However, the series is centered on the premise that because Jesus Christ loved people from all walks of life, the church should do the same. As the promotional material explains, the people whom the church needs to love the most are often the most rejected. In conjunction with the series, congregants will put feet to their faith and show love to people in the community through Connect Groups, Calvary's small home fellowships. So we're doing this series, Jesus Loves People, and again, it's purely based on that mindset that John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever... You know, and so, I mean, it's just this beautiful mindset that God so loved, not God so hated the world that he sent his son to judge the world, but God so loved the world. And this is the mindset. Jesus loves people. He loves prostitutes. He loves atheists. He loves terrorists. He loves homosexuals. He loves cutters. He loves the suicidal. He loves the broken. And shouldn't we?
Yeah.
I think that's the mindset. If God loves those people, then shouldn't we as well? Yeah. And unfortunately, in the church today, I think the church is more known for its hate than for its love. Yeah. You know, when Osama bin Laden was finally killed by the U.S. government, and again, they were doing it to protect the people, and I agree with their decision. But when it happened, I saw Christians posting on Twitter saying things like, I'm so glad he's dead. I hope he's burning in hell.
Yeah.
And I would read things like that, and I said, is there any place for Christians to rejoice in the judgment of God?
Yeah.
For us to rejoice in the judgment of God, for us to take pleasure in the judgment of God and the fact that somebody's going to spend eternity in hell separated from God. And here's the truth. If Hitler were to give his life to Jesus Christ, he could go to heaven. Yeah. If Osama bin Laden would give his life to Jesus Christ, he could have gone to heaven. If anybody is willing to deny themselves and take up their cross, they can go to heaven. And that's the most biblical message that we can find, that Jesus loves the sinner, but he hates the sin. And I think we get it flip-flop so often. We hate the sinner.
Yeah.
And so we're really excited about this series. We're going to take each week through the series, 16 weeks. We're going to look at a different people group. And we're going to look at what the Bible says about them, but then how we can show love to them, how we can reach out to them. Because I think we have these questions like, man, I've got a homosexual friend in my life. I don't know how to show love to him. Like, do I just ignore him and pretend he's a ghost? And when he's around, I don't look at him? Or, what do I do? Do I go to the wedding that they invited me to? You know, and so we have all these questions. So...
think about our very first question of the day. Hey, I'm a dude, this chick, obviously not a believer.
Yeah.
She wants to hang out with me. Do I even respond on Facebook?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, yeah. It's a human being.
Yeah.
You know, like, still respond like a normal human being.
And so we're stoked for this series. We're going to go through it through each one of these people groups. And this is the coolest part. We have our Connect groups here at Calvary, and we have about 100 Connect groups. And each Connect group is going to pick a people group. And throughout the entire series, throughout 16 weeks, they're going to find ways each week to show love to that people group.
I like that a
so
lot.
So one Connect group will pick homosexuals, and they're going to find ways for 16 weeks to show homosexuals love. And we're not just going to leave it with the sinners. We're going to find ways to show love to people groups all across Albuquerque who are hurting. We're going to show love to the homeless, to sick kids, to sick adults, to widows, to orphans, to the elderly, to college people. And we just want to have an uprising of love here at Calvary. And I think that's the gist of the Bible, is to have an uprising of love.
I'm really stoked about it. We're providing the information on our Facebook page as well, facebook.com/mystaticradio, or I mean simply jesuslovespeople.com, which is... it's just so telling. We were talking about earlier the fact that we got that domain name.
It's crazy.
It was available, which means Jesus loves people it's just not high on anyone's radar.
Like, either that,
people didn't care or what? It was like,
either that or God totally hooked us up, and like right. that day, the person who was supposed to renew it forgot to renew it, and then we snagged it.
Right.
That's what I like to think God did it, Steve-O. Not that everyone hates God and one loves anybody.
Yeah. Man, it's so tough because you're right. That's not the message that is spoken, that is portrayed from, I was going to say from our culture, but really from the media.
You know,
the media is really where the voice comes from, whether it's the Christian voice, the Muslim voice, whatever voice you will have, the atheist voice, whatever voice it is, it's really the media that creates this persona of who we are. And the Christian persona is, we hate homosexuals, we hate people who drink, we hate people who cuss, we hate people who smoke, we certainly hate Shia LaBeouf.
I don't smoke, I don't chew, and I don't go with girls that do.
That's right, man. That's right.
Did you just quote Mississippi to me? Because I've heard that so many times in my life. I for real just went, zoom, like back to my granddad's church in my head.
That was incredible.
Yeah.
JesusLovesPeople.com and, of course, Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio for all the information. Really excited about
Dude,
that.
And I just think what a great resource, too, because, you know, when I'm reading Twitter and I'm seeing, these Twitter battles between Vicky Beach and all these other people and Westboro Baptist responding saying God hates fags, God hates you, God hates the sin, all this stuff. And I'm like, man, if I just had a resource that I could post something on there, not saying that I approve of what they're doing, but just that God loves them. And so we're developing for each one of these topics, we're developing some really, really cool artwork that's just simple. Jesus loves homosexuals. Jesus loves atheists. And I was just thinking, man, if I would have those resources that when I'm seeing a Twitter battle like that, I could just simply post in the midst of that Twitter battle, Jesus loves homosexuals.
And just
have the website there. And what's great about the website is I want to be clear, we're not saying we approve of these sins. And the website we've developed does a really great job talking about what the Bible says about these sins, but also saying that Jesus loves those people. And even though we can be trapped in a multitude of sins, God still loves us.
Yeah.
And it's never too late to repent, and it's never too late to turn to God. And you can always be forgiven. My dad and I were at I live on the west side now. I'm a west sider.
What?
And we were over at Olive Garden the other day, over on the west side, and we were eating, and a girl came up to us, and she was a young girl, and she had really short hair, and she came up to us, and she just told my dad, she said, I just want to thank you so much. You changed my life. She said, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And she said, what happened is it's because of you. You came into a restaurant that I was working at 3 years ago and invited me to an Easter sunrise service. And she said, at first I didn't go. I didn't want to go. But a year later I came to church because I really needed something. And she said, I came to church and gave my life to Jesus Christ. And then she said this. She said, as you can tell, I'm a stereotypical homosexual. She said, I've been addicted to drugs. I've been in and out of rehab. I was abused as a child, and I'm a stereotypical homosexual. And she said, I work with a lot of Christians who tell me that, I need to get in a relationship with a guy, otherwise I'm not a real Christian. She said, and I can't do that. She said, but at the same time, I've committed to being single and not being in any relationship because I'd rather be single and not sin than be in a sinful relationship. So she's recognizing that, look, I'm a homosexual. I have relationships. I have a desire to be with women, but even though that desire can't go away and I can't make that desire go away, I'm not going to live in sin. I'm not going to live in a sinful lifestyle. I can still have the desire to be with women and be a Christian. I can still have the desire in the same way that, look, I'm a dude and there's times when I have the desire to be with women.
Right, right.
Now, does that desire mean that I'm not a Christian? No.
Right.
That desire means that I'm human. And so I think it's perfectly possible to be a male who has a strong desire to be with other men and be a Christian as long as you're not acting on that sin.
This is going to be a very powerful series.
It's pretty it's going to be fun.
It's going to be incredible. We actually got a phone call asking a question about this. So it's exciting. Let's go out to the phone lines. Shock Therapy Live, hello.
Yeah, dude, I had a question real quick. I was calling because I wanted to ask about, you guys were talking about people loving.
Yeah.
And my thing is this, I'm not, dude, everyone gets so touchy when I say this, but like, dude, I'm not a racist at all by no means. But like, I do gotta admit, when I'm my buddy and his wife, they're college students, they can't get, food stamps to help them out, and they can't get anything because you have a bunch of immigrants pretty much coming to different parts of the state. And our government's doing nothing about it, dude. And it's kind of hard you know, it's not that I don't love that, but it's kind of like, dude, you're taking advantage of something and you're not coming here to work either. You know what I mean? It's like, for the people that do work and are trying everything they can do to make it by, it's like they get their assistance taken away from someone who's not even part of this country. And because we have our immigration law is so messed up, we have a bunch of immigrants that come here and just take advantage or make it worse. So I guess it's like why am I always wrong? Or why do they say, well, that's not thinking Christian-minded? Well, why am I not thinking Christian-minded? Can't I still have that opinion of, I feel like it's wrong, but I don't have to judge the person itself? It's just, I feel like they should have made the right steps to be a part of this country then, dude. Like,
Here's the thing. Politics and love are different. And politics and love should never really be talked about in the same manner. You know, when Jesus looked at the politics of his day, he looked at the way that people were taxing his people, what tax collectors were doing, what the Romans were doing. He didn't agree with the way that the tax collectors were taxing the people. He never said, look, I agree with the politics of that. What he said is that we should love those people. What he said is that we should show love to people no matter who they are. Even when Jesus hung on the cross, he was an innocent man. Should he have been hung on the cross and had nails driven through his hands? No, he was innocent. But in the moment, he didn't say, I disagree with the politics of what is happening here. He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And so I think that what we really need to understand as Christians is that there's things politically that we don't have to agree with, and frankly, things politically we shouldn't agree with. You know, when it comes to the legalization of gay marriage, no one's saying that we've got to support that or that we have to agree with that. But what we are saying is that no matter who's getting married, no matter who's enacting in what sin, we should love those people. And we should show love to those people. And so I think what we need to understand here is there's a clear difference between agreeing with and showing love. And so I think that's a message that every Christian, if they're a true Christian, should agree with and should understand. And so what I would do is, when I look at this concept of Jesus loves people, I would do it to the reverse and say, okay, if you don't agree that Jesus loves homosexuals, do you believe that Jesus hates homosexuals? Or if you don't believe that Jesus loves immigrants, do you believe that Jesus hates immigrants? And so, you know, as we look at this, I think we have to look at, because one of those statements is true. And so as a Christian, I think we got to look at it and say which one's true.
Yeah, no,
I totally agree, dude. That's awesome. I don't know. Like, I guess my thing is more like, I just don't know why, like, myself, I find it so hard. Like, I mean, I don't have nothing against the person, an individual, or their lifestyle. My main thing is just, like, if it's misfortunate from other people's, I guess, not so much political, but it's just, like, I feel like you're here taking advantage of people I know's future that need something. And it's kind of hard to show love to a person that I know is like, you know, you're just here to just on a free ride, dude. You don't even.
It's funny how this.
Hard to show love like
that. It's funny how this circles back to our conversation earlier with a previous phone call with contentment, because it all stemmed from comparison. And maybe it has to do with the fact that these, you know, if you want to call them freeloaders or people who are just, you know, bucking the system and doing whatever, and maybe illegally obtaining this or not having to work, and they're still getting a check from the government or whatever, and you're working your butt off and this isn't fair. Well, life's not fair, you know, and I think it could be stemming from that comparison of, man, I'm working my butt off and I'm doing everything right. This person's not doing it the right way. And you immediately come into that comparison of almost, I don't want to say desiring, but it's like, man, why am I working so hard when all I have to do is get on food stamps? You know,
I think here's, you know, another big issue. No one ever said it would be easy to love people. No one ever said that it would be a smooth ride loving people. It's hard to love people sometimes, and sometimes there's people who do things and we don't agree with them, or we feel like it's injustice, and it's hard to love them, but that doesn't take away our call as Christians to love them.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, again, that's the message that Jesus Christ did for us. It wasn't easy to die on the cross. It wasn't easy, you know, to take on the sins of the world. But love stepped in, and love is greater than those things. So I think it's something we need to work at. I think it's something we need to try to do. Yeah. And again, even though we don't agree with the system or the way that things work out, I think it's our call to show love to them, despite what we agree or disagree with. And, you know, for me as a Christian, I have very conservative views. I'm a very conservative person when it comes to politically my views. But I don't think that that takes away my call to work and to try as hard as I can to love people
right.
who I have a really hard time loving.
Yeah. Dude, thank awesome. You so much thank for the call.
You. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, man. 505-338-3700, the phone number. We're like up against it.
Yeah. And another funny thing, I read this the other day, and you made me think of it when, you know, we all say life's not fair. Life's not fair, but it's not fair to anyone. So in essence, life is fair because yeah. it's not fair to any of us.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's fair.
Right.
We can all work
it's fair.
From there.
We can all, yeah. we can all agree.
Life is life's, fair. It is.
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah. I like that a lot. Oh, man. Wow. Crazy first show back, man.
Good first show back.
Fun.
Yeah.
Fun.
I love it. I love it. And, of course, Jesus loves people. It's already ruffling feathers.
Dude,
it's already doing it.
The website, just jesuslovespeople.com.
Yeah.
You know, post to Instagram, post mm-hmm. to social media. We've got, already Instagram posts that you can download on the website and you can post yourself. But post using hashtag jesuslovespeople. And man, I think, what a great thing to get trending. If we could get that message trending, I mean, there's nothing greater. It's the message of the gospel.
Amen. Absolutely. Check out all the details at jesuslovespeople.com. We posted all the information at our Facebook page as well, facebook.com/mystaticradio. And I guess, wow, it's time to hit that music.
Yeah, it is.
We done.
Yeah, yeah.
If you miss any part of the program, you can download the podcast absolutely free. MyStaticRadio.com/shocktherapylive. Get there. Check it out. We've been doing this program for a couple years now. We got a lot of topics under our belt, so make sure you get there. Or if you'd like to ask a question, man, we get emails each and every day. Send them in throughout the week, and we promise next Wednesday we'll get to your question. Again, that's studio@mystaticradio.com. Fantastic. I loved it.
Dude, fun time.
It's good to be back. It's good to be back. Yeah. So, coming up tomorrow, it is Thursday. We got Theology Thursday. We've got the Shrovs coming in talking Aspen Project, Project Zoe, and of course more Team Awesome Morning Party. Until then,
we out.
Yeah, we'll see you guys later.
Comments made do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Real Doctors, Moms, Calvary of Albuquerque, any political party, Puppies, Static Radio, or, well, just about anybody else except for the moron who made us use the delay.